Okay, so I'm here with my brothers and sisters, and we're going to do a verse-by-verse today in Philemon, verses 6 through 10, and you can catch up on all the other verse-by-verses if you're listening to this at our website. Just look for the verse-by-verse tab. We're going to do verses 6 through 10 today, and then stay tuned, because then we're going to do an audio discussion of it, and that'll be put up at the Ecclesia gathering area. So let's go right to it, starting with verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So as I'm looking at this verse, some words just kind of jump out at me. Brother Paul talks about communication of thy faith. That word communication is koinon or koinonian. It means an association, an intimate or intimacy and fellowship, partnership. Basically, what he's talking about here is it's life in the body, your fellowship with each other in the body. And then he says, may become effectual. So your fellowship in the body may become effectual. Energeis in the Greek, effectual, it means active. So that's kind of interesting. So it's talking about that we're acting upon this faith in the fellowship. So he's talking about communication, that it may become effectual, active. And then he says, by acknowledging, right? May become effectual by acknowledging of every good thing. So acknowledging is like the discernment of, so we got to acknowledge it. And so when we put this all together, we start seeing what he's talking about here. In the body, we're active through faith, obviously, in acknowledging and full discernment, every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. And so think about that. We have many good things, and it all springs from our faith in Christ via the gospel, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the good news that he rose again and shed his blood for us, rose again to defeat death, and by repentance of all false ways, our flesh, the world, false religion, we come to him, and when God sees a willing vessel that will obey, we get the Holy Spirit indwelling, and then we walk in all of these things he's given us, the good things, holiness and obedience according to his word, and then we are sanctified. And we endure in the faith. So I always like to preach the gospel because a lot of people listen to these verse by verses. Maybe didn't go listen to the audio. That's the gospel and the path. Us brothers and sisters like to preach it and share that the gospel is the good news of what Christ did. And then the path to eternal life is how you apply it to your life. It goes together, but it is also kind of separate. The good news, 1 Corinthians 15, is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And then applying it to your life is also important. And that is the path to eternal life. So think about that. All the good things that we have that spring forth from God. Matthew 19:17. And he said unto him, why thou callest me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. So we're talking about good things here. 2 Timothy 3:17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible talks a lot about good works of the faithful saints. We're made for good works, Ephesians 2. Titus 2 also talks about zealous for good works. So this verse, this first verse in the study, verse 6, is talking about the fellowship of the faith, that in it we should be active, and that we're discerning all the good things we have in Christ Jesus. So just ponder that for a second. The fellowship of the faith, so we draw faith and encouragement and love, and we draw so many good things from the brothers and sisters, and it's all rooted in the faith, and it should be active in us. Kind of, I think of being diligent, being earnest, being not lukewarm, and pursuing the things of God, and we discern, and maybe I could put it this way, taking stock in the body, in our life, of all the good things we have. And it's kind of like, I guess maybe I would think about maybe like a Titus 2 woman in her kitchen. If she's a good Titus 2 woman, she has a good idea of the stock of her kitchen. She knows what's in her kitchen. And when she goes to cook, she knows where stuff is. She knows what she has, what she doesn't have. She's got all of the stuff that she needs, and she has a stock of it in her mind, maybe. No different than a man that is a good, maybe a plumber or a good woodworker. He has his tools, and he takes stock of them. So I'm thinking this verse is talking about us taking stock of the things we have in the body of Christ, our fellowship, our faith, being active in them, and then considering all the good things that we have in Christ. And I guess the last thought about this first verse I would ask us to ponder about is if we don't often ponder the good things we have in Christ, if we don't focus on them, if we're not thankful for them, if we're not paying attention to them, there's a good chance we're either not going to use them, there's a good chance we're going to take them for granted, there's a good chance we're going to put them down. And like when we read Ephesians 6, we did a study on this not long ago. The weapons of the Lord, the armor he gives us, we can pick it up and use it. Guess what we could do, brethren? We can lay it down and not pick it up again. It's like the Word of God. No, you can have 5 Bibles in your house. If you don't pick it up, read it, study it, understand it, then obey it in context for today, it's really useless to you. It's like a sword that you don't know how to yield or wield. So Hebrews 4:12 is the sword of the Spirit, sword of the word of truth. And so what we want to do is always take stock of what we have in Christ, in the body, and do it with great fervor and be active in using it. Also throwing in discernment, and this all comes together, and then we can be workers, soldiers, servants of Christ. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So he's talking to this brother Philemon, or Philemon, however you want to say that. I always say it different when I say it. Paul is praising this brother, and he says they have joy and consolation. Or he says they have joy and consolation. What it really means is solace and comfort. So we have great joy and consolation in thy love. So these people are getting solace and comfort from the love of this brother. That's pretty awesome to think about. A brother that would have that for the people around him. He's bringing them great solace, which means like peace, comfort. And then it says something interesting that in the English language we all look at and go, whoa, the bowels of the saints are refreshed. So bowels. In our current culture, in most of the Western world at least, when you hear the word bowels, you think about like your intestines. You got like an intestinal problem. You ate something bad or you got a virus. And that's not what he's talking about here. In the Bible, when it talks about bowels, sometimes it can mean like the inner core of a person. Here, the word bowels is like a sympathy, like an inward affection, like a tender mercy. It's kind of the inner emotional core of a human being in this context. So the love of this brother was reaching them at their deepest core. And in that language, in Greek, they would use the term, a term likened to bowels, which is like the inner core of a man. So that's pretty awesome to think about. His love, his actions causing this deep, tender mercy in these people and emotional at their core because of him. And it talks about refreshed the saints. Okay? Refreshed the saints. It says to give rest and to cause other to gain strength. So if we had a brother that was laboring really hard and he couldn't keep up whatever he was doing and some brothers showed up to help him, we would refresh his strength and we would give him strength and help him gain his strength. So the actions of this man just doing what he does by his love, by his demeanor, by his care, you might say fervent love, that's what he's doing. He's refreshing the saints. So if we go back and look at that verse, for they have great joy and consolation in thy love. So the love for those people, because of the inner core of them, all the way deep down, their tender mercies, they're refreshed by this brother. That's pretty awesome. I'd like that to be said about me, and I think everyone would say the same thing. So that's something that we all should strive for. Rather than being a thorn in people's side, we should be refreshing, like this brother here that Paul is describing. And take note here, Paul is a man who's writing from jail. Paul is a man who's always thinking about the brethren. Paul is the one who said, I came or I over you, I cried with tears and, you know, constantly striving for the body. So if Paul sees this in this man, that's a really good testimony about this man, because Paul was very much dedicated to the body of Christ and poured himself out for them. Moving on to verse 8.
All right, verse 8. Brother Paul says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. So here, Paul is saying in that word enjoin that he could order, command, or be firm about something. But then he says it's much more convenient, proper, or fitting. Paul's going to take a different angle to get what he wants done. And recall, it's a slave master who has a runaway slave who may have stolen from him. Paul's trying, who now became a believer, Paul's trying to bring these two back into harmony in the body for the glory of God, for the each of the brothers' edification. And so Paul is saying, I could order this, but it's convenient, proper, and fitting. And we're going to see how Paul does it. He asks this man, he entreats this man to receive this young brother back into the body, or into the body, because he is now a believer. On to verse 9.
Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such as one, such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So Paul is beseeching this man he's writing the letter to in love. And we're told to do all things in love, by love, through the Spirit. That's part of the Galatians 5, fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So that's part of the fruits of the Spirit, that clearly love is one of them that we should be having for the Lord and for our brethren. And then he says, beseech. That word is like near, call near, invoke, to entreat. It's kind of like saying something with an exclamation point, trying to get attention. Call you near, have you hear this. Paul often said, I beseech you, brethren. And sometimes he would add, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to it. And then what he seems to be saying here is he's kind of calling out that he's an older man in the faith, as he's reaching out to this brother he's writing the letter to, and he's trying to maybe have some type of standing. He says, being such a one as Paul, the aged. So the older men, Paul was a leader, elder, overseer in the body. So Paul is kind of reminding this brother kind of who he is and why he's coming to him. And we're going to find out about that as we go into the study. There is a beautiful backstory to this, about what Paul is trying to do with a younger man that this brother he wrote the letter to, and how he's trying to stand in the gap for him. And so Paul is basically just saying he's an older man in the body. He's beseeching him. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So the older men that were leaders had kind of a standing in the body. Paul is kind of just saying that as he's going to come to this man. And you're going to find out why Paul would do that, because he has a purpose. He's standing for this other man who was a slave and now coming back and representing him to this brother he's writing the letter to. So that's why Paul is setting up, hey, I'm coming to you as the aged man, because Paul has something he wants this brother to do. Verse 10. I beseech thee for my son, is it Onesimus, whom I've begotten in bonds. So Paul, Brother Paul, is beseeching, and he's trying to reach the brother he's writing this letter to for the cause of this man, this other brother, Onesimus. And he makes this statement, he's begotten him. Kind of a strange statement. Geno. Basically, it means that Paul was the man that brought him to faith, like the father. Paul fathered him in the faith. Ultimately, we know Christ calls everybody to the faith. Paul would tell you he planted, another man waters, God brings the increase. So Paul wouldn't tell you that he's adding people to the faith, but he was a fleshly or a flesh physical father to this man who he brought into the faith. He probably witnessed to him and helped him come to Christ, and that's what he's saying here, that he begotten him. And Acts 2:47 says what I was just talking about, praising God and having all favor with all the people. The Lord added to the body, ecclesia, daily, as such should be saved. So God adds people to the body. We don't. We're just tools in the Lord's hands as we do this. And then he says, Brother Paul says, in my bonds. This word in the Greek means like a ligament or a shackle, but in the context here, it means prisoner. Paul is saying while he's in prison, he must have came in contact with this other young man, Onesimus, or whatever, however you pronounce that, to Christ, Onesimus. He probably brought him to Christ. And I think that's an interesting note. Paul, not uncommon for him, in jail, could have been locked up to a brick wall, whatever, probably meeting other prisoners. He's still working. He's still laboring. He's still doing the ministry. Paul never stopped doing the work of the Lord, whether he was writing letters, whether he was praying, whether he was reaching people. So it seems to be here the case that while in bonds, he says, I beseech thee for my son, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So bonds here, I think, means he's talking about prison. And so Paul is quite the worker. No matter what situation he's in, he found himself to be happy, be joyous. He's the one that said, godliness with contentment is great gain. And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, do we have that same fervor? Do we have that same mindset? Or are we always caught up in our situations? And Romans 8:36-39, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those are some awesome promises that we have. I do want to make a note on that verse I just read there, kind of not in line with this verse by verse, but people will often say, yeah, see, Romans 8 says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. That in context is talking about persecution and trials. It doesn't mean you can go and sin. It doesn't mean you can fall away. It doesn't mean you can't fall into apostasy. Paul here is clearly talking about trials. And he says, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. So if we're doing what God's called us to do, no matter whatever trials we're in, situation, circumstances, if we're looking to him, if we're striving for him, if we repent when we have to repent, if we don't live in willful sin, nothing's going to separate us from the love of Christ. He's going to pull us through. But obviously, if we turn away in sin, we all know that we can be lost. We don't teach Calvinism. There is no such thing as once saved, always saved. We know we must endure to the end. I just wanted to talk about that in Romans 8. That's a common misunderstanding. So in this verse by verse, I think we saw some points that we can take to ourselves about how we take stock of the body, how we should be a loving person marked by love and care for other believers, how we can affect the deep bowels of someone, which would be their inner core. And then someone like Paul, laboring, even from a prison cell. And Paul's in a prison cell, writing a letter to this brother about another brother and his care and concern for him. So I think we learn a lot of great examples about who we should be in the body, how we should be, what we should be about, always preferring one another, not thinking of ourselves, not getting caught up in our situation, no matter how bad it is. And Paul is a great example of that. So we have joyous promises that we get to stand on. And if we do that, we're not going to be weak. We can stand, as Paul says in Ephesians, he says, withstand. And then when you have withstood, then stand. Do everything you can to stand. And then we're going to keep standing. And so we can do this through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can be this example like Paul or like this loving brother he's writing to if we walk in the Spirit, in the Word, and we can be ready to be called worthy Yeah, we got to be worthy one day. We've been talking about that a lot. Worthy for the calling of Christ. Paul's teaching us about that in this little book. And we're going to leave it right there. That's 6 through 10. Next time, we'll keep going and we'll get into the real core story of this. And it's really just about a man who was a slave owner, who had a slave that ran away. And the slave became a believer. And he's going back to his owner. And we'll read more about that when we get into the next verse by verse. We'll start with 10 and we'll go through it. Well, I don't know how many we'll get next time, but we'll find out. So stay tuned. The brothers and I are going to have a talk about this verse by verse, and it'll be up in the Ecclesia gathering area. Thanks for listening. May God be praised.